in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program. Once again, we're back on this Tuesday, the 11th of February. Welcome. My name is Thomas Gamble, for those who may be new. And here we are on the Watchmen for Jesus program. Tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays is Bible studies that we do. And also remind you on Monday nights, last night, I got on a roll last night. I'm going to send it out to my distribution list, the MP3. Anyway, RevelationRadioNetwork.org, I'm on every Monday night, 8 to 10. And, of course, my regular broadcast is Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. daily. And here we are. Family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'm going to get started here because I'm going to call today, not entirely, but some of today, this morning, this afternoon, first part of this broadcast, I'm going to talk about absurdities. Absurdities. That's what popped in my mind before we started. And when I get to speaking, you'll understand what I'm talking about in absurdities. Everybody's trying to lay the blame of where this conspiracy. Nobody has a. I've seen some of it, YouTube and other places. There are some people that understand what this conspiracy is all about. But these are YouTubers. It seems the highest level in talk shows and TV and books and CDs and all that, they don't know where it's coming from, or they're not really saying, one of the two, of where this conspiracy is really originating from. And who's actually orchestrating it. and their agenda. They got to have an agenda. Well, they do. They readjust it every quarter, every month, every year. But we're going to talk about specifics today, as I always try to do, and bring reality to the airways. You get it in other places as well, of course. Even in controlled opposition, your Alex Joneses and all these that work for the Illuminati, they also give you some truth, but they also are there to misdirect. That's the problem with it. The reality is that those that's my regular listeners, you already know, it's supernatural events that's going on. And the supernatural is orchestrating this agenda. But the blame is being laid in other places that mislead folks into not finding a solution. If you don't know the cause, you can't find a solution. It's basic. If you're misled in the causes, it's impossible to find a solution. Well, they're mislaying the causes and redirecting the actual responsibility of this conspiracy to wrong directions. A lot of it lies in secret societies, but they will be targeted. Well, they're being used. They will be targeted for destruction. That's a promise and a guarantee. Blame the Jews, blame the Masons, blame the Roman Catholics, blame the Arabs, government. Somebody's got to come to a conclusion. Somewhere along the way, somebody's got to be pulling the strings. Well, I'm going to run into dialogue with that today, this afternoon. Tonight's solutions on really what you got to do. It's not about taking colloidal silver or monatomic gold or ibuprofen. Drugs are killing people by design. Vaccinations are to kill. They are not to help, and never have been designed to help. They've always been designed to kill on the long term. It's always been. Since the day the first needle went in the first arm, it was a setup, always, from the beginning. Same thing for nuclear energy. It was designed by a much higher level organization. Everything's been orchestrated. It's all worked out. Except one thing hasn't worked out. They have not achieved their new world order. But each attempt has been a learning lesson for them. And each readjustment of their technology, methodology, manipulation of the population has been a trial, test, and learned. They are patient. They'll wait 2, even 3 generations, even plan 100 years in advance, and to make sure their offspring are trained to carry on this agenda. It has continuity. Family, it has continuity. Literally, that goes back to Nimrod. The pharaohs of Egypt. Their bloodline of the pharaohs of Egypt are in the monarchy today. The same bloodline of the pharaohs of Egypt. You understand this? It started in Egypt. Hybrids, the fallen angels and daughters of men, sons of God, the watchers, not aliens. It's ridiculous. Not ascended masters. That's just another name for them. They call themselves Elmer Fuddites if they want to, but doesn't take away from the fact that they're fallen angels, and in the Old Testament we're called the sons of God. fallen angels, rejects out of heaven, I call them. And they're bound for hell. That's a guarantee and a promise also. Nothing they can do about it. You see, because God is creator. They're the created. And the created can never defeat their enemy, who's God, who knows every move they're going to make before they even know they're going to make a move. Because Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, they do not have wisdom nor discernment. They have a lot of knowledge. They don't forget anything. But they don't have discernment and wisdom that God can give to the Holy Spirit. That's why they want to tap in to those that claim to be Christians, born again, to tap in to their collective, you might say, the Holy Spirit. Because they don't know what God's going to do. They don't know what God already knows. This is the biggest picture you can get about this conspiracy. Everything else we mess with, I call it minutia. It's dangerous minutia. Agenda 21, Fukushima, World War III, all this stuff like that. It's going to happen. And things are happening. That's minutia compared to a much, much bigger picture that is in control of everything. That's the point. So people are so distracted by fear that they can't see this bigger point. You see? And I try to look at the bigger picture. I just do it in my life. That's what I do, is a bigger picture. I can do that. It's a free choice. You understand what I mean? And that's what I do. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then let's get going. Lord, we come before you today. Father, we dedicate this broadcast, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to have a broadcast together, that we can continue for now years, that we've been around for 4 years, Father, in one name or another, but, Father, we're on the air no matter what. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity you set up, the way you directed situations and conditions, and how you set all this up, Father, supernaturally. We thank you, Lord, that this is all taking place, that we have the opportunity to do these broadcasts and Bible studies still. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, that through him we have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible, Lord, that gives us the directions, gives us the life, gives us the insight into you and how we got here, where we're going, and how to get there. We thank you, Father, for this direction, for this knowledge that you've given upon us, the supernatural knowledge that we can comprehend through the King James Bible. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that came down to touch us all, to bring us all together. Father, forgive us of our sins that we bring them before you individually. As Father, we, in our prayer closet, that we lay our own sins upon you, that you forgive them of us and help us to turn away from evil, turn away from temptations. The Lord, to give us that knowledge and wisdom, discernment, that we can see what's getting ready to happen, that we can, Father, have divine appointments to set up, to lead others to Jesus. But Father, we call upon you today that you spread your Holy Spirit out, that we call upon you, Lord, you'll give us that Holy Spirit. Humble us enough, meek enough, that Father will have the strength to deal with the coming events. That we'll be calm under pressure as we're pushed through the Holy Spirit, that we have the knowledge to be able to help, discern, and use wisdom to come up with solutions, that Father be pleased you. We pray for our servicemen coming back. We pray for, Father, those in the country that are being targeted with these psychotropic drugs, the microchips in the drugs. Father, the antidepressants that's being given to people. Lord, we know that this opens up portals of demonic spirits that causes the thoughts of suicide. We know, Father, the technology implants the voice to skull technology and voices, that, Father, you'll silence those voices. That with your Holy Spirit, you'll protect them with the blood of Jesus away from these frequency vibrations that they conduct. And Lord, you'll protect them. And set up divine appointments that will lead them in the right path to Jesus. We pray, Father, that you'll use your Holy Spirit to touch the hearts of these ministers and bishops and priests and rabbis and preachers, that, Father, you'll touch them with the Spirit of truth. That you'll convict them of using the wrong Bibles and bring them to the true Word of God, to the King James. That, Father, they'll back up of their corrupted sermons and they'll tell the truth, Lord, like some in the past have done. But today, Father, they've got these mega churches and the impersonal approaches and ways they keep the truth from the parishioners. That, Lord, you'll put the Spirit of God in them to renounce the blood oath of the Freemasonry, to talk to the Freemasons in their church, and their courage to do so. That, Father, you'll touch the hearts of those in the military, of those that's involved in the Council of Foreign Relations, and those to give them conviction of the evil they're involved in, and Father, to sabotage the efforts of the Illuminati, to come out and speak the truth about the satanic involvement of the government, the politics, the religion, that, Lord, you bring the truth about Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit out. Lord, we call upon you to protect those that have been touched by these vaccines. We've asked for healing of our families, members, that's in these homes, rest homes, that, Father, somehow you reverse the effects of these vaccines and bring back their minds. There'd be a spiritual awakening in this country that won't be stopped before those times begin. Father, to guide us rest this week with our Bible studies and broadcast, Father, we dedicate it to you. That's why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, we're at war. But the enemy we see, we don't see. The enemy we should see, we don't see because it's supernatural. Controlling humankind. That's kind of a generic statement to make, you could say. But more specifically, who is the enemy? Well, a lot of, I guess, presentations I've heard will say, it's a Jewish conspiracy. Jews have done it. Really? The Jews, huh? Yeah, it's those Zionist Jews. Well, no, wait a minute now. Hold on now. Is it Jews or is it Zionist? Because you got a difference there. Zionists are trying to kill the Jews. And the Jews and Zionists don't get along. So something's wrong there. So you can't group them together. Now start splitting up. They say it was the Jews. Everybody says the Jews are doing it. Okay, so we've established the Jews then. Let's do that. Okay, what do you do now? You've established the fault of this entire worldwide conspiracy. It goes back to Nimrod. So of course, some people don't go back that far. They stop at, I don't know, Woodrow Wilson or FDR or somewhere. Maybe some people even go as far back as the 1700s and Rothschilds and all that, if they really do their studies. Okay, so Rothschilds. All right, Jews. Well, they're not Jews. They're German. That's a problem there. They're Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, and Bauer is not Jew. Yeah, you know. Do you know what I mean? And so, you got a little problem with this Jewish conspiracy going on. And then you got the Arabs. Yeah, Islam, enemy, terrorist. It's an Islamic conspiracy. Oh, okay. So now you've thrown something else in the loop here. So now it's a Jewish and Islamic conspiracy. Uh-huh. So you telling me the Jews and Arabs work together? That's absurd. Oh, I'm only getting started. And so now we got a Jewish conspiracy. We got a Islamic conspiracy. Okay. How far back are you going to take it? You know? Oh, no. It's the Masons now. Oh, so the Masons, the Arabs, and the Jews are working together. Make up your mind. Which is it? You can't have it all both ways, all three ways. Oh, it's the Vatican. The Vatican's evil. Oh, now we got four. We got the Vatican. We got the Masons. We got the Jews. And we got the Muslims. Okay. So, what's the common factor here? The Vatican is. The Vatican. Because the Vatican goes back to 325 A.D. So somewhere wrong, it's American. Americans are doing it now. Oh, I see. The Americans. Well, we've only been around really since 1776, 75, sort of got things together. This fictional constitution, we've never been under, really. And this thing called democracy, which confirmed by FDR March 4th, 1939, said we never had a democracy. So something's wrong there. So it's American conspiracy. Americans are doing it. Boy, I tell you, a lot of absurdities going on there, aren't there? So you cancel us out by the 1700s. That takes the Americans out. Pew! There you go. So you call about the Jews. So now that you know it's the Jews, see how confusing it gets when you hear all these stories going on? What do you do now? You go out and kill every Bernstein, gold digger that you can find, Hamburger, Bernstein, whatever Jewish name, look it up in the phone book in your cities and go kill them, right? What are you going to do about it? Go out and kill them, start another Holocaust? So you finish 2 hours on a program. The Jews are doing it. Okay, so you get rid of the bankers, right? Jews are bankers, right? Yeah. Oh. So they get rid of the bankers. You solve the problem. No, we haven't. Who is it going to be then? See how ridiculous it sounds? Because it is. So once you've... I could talk here about the Jews did this and Jews did that for an hour, right? Holocaust denial and all this stuff. What have I accomplished in 1 hour? Not a darn thing. What are you going to do about it? Just talk about it for an hour and then move on, right? They'll solve nothing. Secret societies. There's more secret societies than Jews anyway. You want to put the blame in secret societies. Muslims. Well, the Vatican created Islam in the 6th century. So that knocks that right out the loop, don't it? They even funded the invasion of Northern Africa. The Vatican funded the invasion of Northern Africa by the Muslims. Agreement to protect Roman Catholics, to take Jerusalem, which they did. And give it to the Pope. And kill Gentiles and Christians, or Jews. That's the three agreements made by the Vatican to the Muslim kings around the 6th, 7th century. Oh, they did good, in the 9th century, They did good, though, because they wanted to move on into Europe. They got so good at it. Uh-oh. Then you got the Crusades. Who's the Crusades? Knights Templar. Oh, so now we got a division between the Muslims and the Vatican and the Knights Templar. Knights Templar and the Vatican are going at each other. Boy, it's confusing, isn't it? Where's the Jews at? Not in that ball of wax, are they? No. So now what? Take it on back to King John, Charles Maine. Keep on going. You can take this back to the Pharaohs of Egypt. And let me tell you, they weren't Jew. Family, what's common here in all this confusion, misdirection, misidentifying the actual perpetrators? The common factor is Lucifer, a supernatural being, and the fallen angels. That's the common factor. What was before the Roman Catholic Church? Documented the ancient mystery schools of religion, the ancient schools of ancient mystery schools, shamanism, Mithraism, Zoroastrianism, witchcraft. Keeps going back, don't it? Because the Catholic Church didn't exist. It's still the conspiracy can be traced back. Even before the 4th century. Ancient mystery religions. That's a fact. Because you claim it's going to be the Vatican. And we've canceled out everybody else. Was before the Vatican. Who created the Vatican? Constantine. Who's Constantine? First Pope. What was he? He's a pagan. What did he do? He worshipped Baal, sun god. There you go. Now we're following it on down. Where's the Jews at? They ain't around there. I'll tell you that. Tribe of Dan, though, are Jewish merchants about this time. Satan is eyeballing them, getting ready to use them as he interbreeds with the tribe of Dan. I surmise Sanand Emmanuel, the one who looks like Jesus, it's not Jesus, a fallen angel, kind of spread his DNA around a little bit, if you know what I mean. You can take this all the way back to Nimrod and the ancient mystery schools of religion. And where did he get his start? Through supernatural means of the fallen angels. That's where he got his start from. That's the common ground. So they got you believing it's Muslims, it's Jews, it's Masons, it's Vatican. And nobody's doing anything about anything. They just identify this who it is, and then what? I can write books and CDs and even wear drawers with the emblems on them. Whatever, but doesn't solve anything. Now, Hitler tried to solve something. They all thought it was the Jews that tore down Germany. But the targeting of the Jews began in 1885, about the time Hitler was born. How about that? April the, what was it, 17th, 18th, Hitler was born. Hitler was a chela. He was channeled. He was possessed, no doubt. He was raised up as Merovingian bloodline. Yes, he was. Through the Rothschilds. German, Bauer. With the name of Rothschild. Oh, we get sticky, don't it? He was possessed the day he was born. He was second cousin to Churchill, who was possessed. Queen Elizabeth II, Wicca, big time. And Stalin. And every one of our American presidents are part of this same bloodline. We don't get off on anything. We've been the pit bull dog for the Illuminati since the day this country was born. They sharpened our teeth in 1897 with a false flag. We confirmed in some other programs I've gotten testimony. You've heard on the air that sinking of the Maine was a false flag to justify a standing army. And that's what set us up. Beginning in the year 1900 time frame of becoming the pit bull dog unwittingly by the citizens, knowingly by the Luciferian government, subservient to the Vatican and the Illuminati. All presidents have been bloodline members. Now you see what this is going to? Family, this is a supernatural war that we're in. If it's a supernatural war, you got to use spiritual weapons. It's called spiritual warfare. Natural weapons will not work. So the guy's chasing our tails. He's going after the Arabs. Oh, before it's Japanese. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, World War II is Japanese, wasn't it? And Germans? Italians? Satan's got us fighting each other, even the United States. What's it now on the airways? Today in America, what is it? Here comes the most absurdity of all. I've said this before. My regular listeners have heard me go about this, but you've got on some of these broadcastings and so forth, DHS, we're living in a tyrannical government, TSA, DHS, the enemy, tyranny in America. We got this cop that beat this guy up, this thug cop, and you know, here you go. Sort of changed, hasn't it? You got cops out there that are good cops. You got cops out there that are thugs, and the thugs are former felons, a lot of them, Freemasons. And they're doing this on purpose in order to get it in the headlines. So you see the tyranny starting to pick up steam. So all cops are being blamed. It's not all cops at all. It's those being identified to set up these situations so they'll be put in the paper by design. So you'll believe it's constructed, manufactured, tyrannical government. How can you have a tyrannical government when you got a major Knights of Malta member named Rick Joyner and a former general, Boykin, who are Knights of Malta, publicly stating they want to be a part of a revolution? We are the generals in charge of the militia and what kind of tyrannical government? That's a poor tyrannical government we got. And yet some guy on Facebook or on YouTube can say, well, Obama should be taken doing this and the other, and he's got a knock, knock, knock on the door by Secret Service, or so they say. And yet you got this Rick Joyner, who's a major evangelist down in Charlotte, North Carolina, on his own channel, outwardly, overtly, loudly proclaiming to overturn the U.S. government. This, you know, I started laughing. This is too funny. Knights of Malta, they work for the Vatican. They take a blood oath against mankind to lie. Now, there's a problem there. So why can't people figure this out? So you got these six generals. I got the article, man. They put the picture of them in this article. These are the six generals in charge or helping to form the revolution for the militia in charge of. We got them on our side. And two of them, Stubblebine, whatever, doesn't matter, used to work for intelligence in the government. Jerry Boykin is a Knights of Malta member. I mean, it's like saying, I'm a traitor, but I'm on your side, sign around his neck. Nobody says a word. Not a word. And you got a major political leader that everybody claps about named Ron Paul, who's a Rosicrucian. It's coming out that he is. I've been saying this for 5 years. Now it's coming out publicly. Nobody says a word. Nobody looks at it. Rosicrucians are secret societies. They're the ones for depopulation. You know, killing people on a mass scale to reduce the size of the world's population. It's always been the plan, family. Always. Nobody connects the dots, man. Patriotism is an idol and keeps us blinded. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, what am I doing this for? You know, I don't make anything from it. I do this free. I just do it. God gave me this network. All I can say, I mean, there's a lot of things happen. Those are my regular listeners, you know, all that happened there. But bottom line, whatever it is, I got a network and I'm talking. I don't have 10,000 people listening. Maybe 9,999. But it's a small one. But I'm telling y'all the truth. And it's just absurd to me. They got so divided. So you got DHS and the enemy, you know, FEMA and all this. And then over here, militia and other folks that are militia and all this. So you're dividing us up. And yet we know each other, but it got us divided up. And then the blacks and the white, but there's more of us than them. And they even tell you.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history,
Brzezinski,
almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people. Literally, it was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
That's Brzezinski. Goes back to the Afghanistan. Carter, every one of them. Security advisor. And so then you get these.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Words.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger.
That's President Kennedy before they assassinated him. See, I'm putting this together right now as I'm going along. I never planned this today. This is going along as I'm talking to you. I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about today, but now you heard that. Now let's do it in contrast to reality. March the 4th, 1939. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees, a witness by the name of Senator Lundeen copied down this quote and gave it to William G. Carr in 1950s when William G. Carr did a great book called The Red Fog Over America. Not well publicized back then. Hard to find it today. I got an original first edition. And behind closed doors, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, 6 years after a planned military coup of the U.S. government by FDR, Churchill, the military-industrial complex that failed, two years before Pearl Harbor, FDR said the following quote in front of three congressional committees behind closed doors. And this is a summary of how all presidents think. And those members of secret societies and the Illuminati have been planning all along. Quote FDR behind closed doors. Begin quote. I am making no concessions to business for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. Instruments are American people. And my people, he refers to, are the Illuminati. Continuing. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to crush business and infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. There's your FDR. And he parrots and reflects the same attitude that Reagan, Nixon tried a military takeover in 1972-74 that failed. They're going to plan one in 1962-64. You saw what happened there. Reagan, Carter, that lion Bush, all of them, the whole doggone family. Witchcraft, all the way up to Obama, Clinton, the whole lot of them are in the same Merovingian bloodline and traitors to the American government, American people, along with certain follow-up legislators, representatives that are Freemasons at the highest level, lying to their fellow Freemasons. Family's a mess, and God's going to fix it with Jesus Christ. But you know, they keep this in the family. FDR, for example. Woodrow Wilson is just a weak knee. He is controlled by Mandel House. Just like Adam Weishaupt, who planned this world revolutionary movement, 1776, May the 1st, controlled Thomas Jefferson. He had total control of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson protected Adam Weishaupt, as a matter of fact, as he enjoyed the French Revolution. The killing, Thomas Jefferson loved it with his own quotes. He even wrote his own Bible. Let's call a spade a spade. Ancestor to FDR, called Clinton Roosevelt, ancestral cousin, 1841, published in America, The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Law. I say again, the document which I have a copy of, 1841, The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Laws. And what it is nothing more than a plagiarized version of the teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt of Frankfurt University in Germany. The renegade, they call him, Jesuit priest, arranged for the agent Tour the Illuminati to actually infiltrate into French Freemasonry in 1776. So the secret power which directed the world revolutionary movement and the conspiracy of Satan at the same time has been using Freemasonry to further their secret plans and ambitions. Now, Clinton Roosevelt, here comes the rub, that plagiarized this document that Adam Weishaupt did in 1776, renamed parts of it The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws in 1841 through Manzini, was passed on, Albert Pike, to Karl Marx. So by 1848, Hengel and Marx plagiarized this document. And you'll find today in history books that error terribly. It's called the Communist Manifesto by 1848. At the same time, 1850s, at the same time, the Vatican and Illuminati assigned Karl Ritter to write the antithesis called fascism. 1850s. He dies, though. Frank Nietzsche takes over. And from there came fascism and Nazism. Why? In preparation for the pre-planned world wars in the 20th century by 1870s. Y'all see what just happened? Y'all put that in your heads. That's exactly what happened. So, the fact that FDR's New Deal, his NRA, other political policies and economic devices fit perfectly in this long-range plan. And it proved the continuity of this conspiracy from 1841, almost a full century, to 1945. And the civil rights movement was a major, major part of this in the 1840s. The civil rights movement was planned by the early 1700s. But first you've got to put the culture in bondage. It follows a 200-year program. Do you understand how this has been pre-planned all along? I've connected the dots. It's all there. Now, this plan that includes the North American continent, the invasion of white folk from Europe into North America, the planning started in the year 1400, put into effect 1425. And by the time an avatar by the name of Columbus was born, raised, prepared, possessed, I know that sounds crazy. I have it documented in the Illuminati's own textbook that Columbus was an avatar out of Spain to open the pathway, the door, to the North American continent. Now, what would cause white folk in Europe, that's in a comfortable life in Europe, that's getting murdered by the Vatican, by the way, for now, by this time, 200 years, since 1200 AD, it's called the Inquisition, unbelievable murders and tortures that the Vatican did to people. Unbelievable. So about 200 years of this massacre and murder and mayhem, you get kind of tired of it. You kind of want to leave, don't you? That's the whole purpose of it. They put them in bondage. That's how you do it. How do you galvanize them? How do you get them all together? It's no problem. You create a religion. That's exactly what they did. They took a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther, John Calvin, who was a murderer himself, and they created Christianity called Protestantism, Protestant protest, Protestant protest. That galvanized everybody under the banner of God, but never intended to work, but that's what they did. Now, we got our religion together. Let's get out of here. Here come the Mayflower. Toot, toot. The Fabian Society followed up to target the Indians and the Mexicans to move them out. You know the story from there. So the white folk coming over, the Indian folk, all the folk had no clue they're all being used. Man, the white folk just getting out of there. Man, we just want to get out of here to worship God the way we want to. Sure, go. And you had good people. You had good ministers and so forth in that period of time. But what happened to them? These people wait generations. Family, it's a Luciferian conspiracy. That's the continuity. That's my point. That's the enemy. The history is written by the winners, not by the losers. Did you hear what I just said? History is written by the winners. I just thought of this. Not by the losers. The Bible not only is a book of history, but it's a book of 100% of what's going to happen. And that history is written by the winner, God, who's telling you what's going to happen. And the losers are those that turn away from God because of their own free choice. This history book is not only a history book. It's a prophetic book with 100% chance of success. And that's why they're trying to deceive people. So you'll not look at the book that describes what's going to happen to them. Yes, the history is written by the winners. In this case, the history is written by the winner. One, God. Inspired men who were obedient to him. How many? 40. How many books? 66. How long a period? 1600 years. And you got the King James Bible. Their history books that we have in school are worthless. We hold them in high esteem. Why? They're proven to be worthless. The schools are humanist schools. That's been proven already. Marxist and humanism. So you heard JFK, you heard the contrast of FDR. Let's bring another famous individual in. How about that? How about a real truth teller in 1983 who was trying to be grilled, listen carefully, trying to be grilled on a show, a program called Crossfire in 1983. Two members of the Knights of Malta had this show. Evil to the core, they were. One of them still is. One of them is named Tom Braden, Knights of Malta, and Pat Buchanan, Knights of Malta, try their level best to unseat Larry McDonald in this interview. Listen carefully to the words and the trickery. And by the way, not long after this interview, the plane that Larry McDonald was flying on, KL-007, either was shot down, or a lot of indicators are now, the plane was diverted, the passengers abducted, children put in adoption, and Larry McDonald, who knows what happened to him. But he disappeared, either way you look at it. So about showing you continuity from 1963, JFK, to 1983, 20 years later, you get this. Now listen carefully. Wait. Okay. McDonald was murdered. No doubt about that.
Welcome back to Crossfire. Our guest is the new chairman, recently named chairman of the John Birch Society, Congressman Larry McDonald, a Democrat from Georgia. Mr. McDonald, your predecessor believed that the PTA was too left-wing and that and the John Birch Society at one time tried to infiltrate it, or so he said. He used the word infiltrate. Is that part of your program now?
Well, I think when the PTA comes out in its program for the test ban treaty, and when the PTA comes out for gun control, and comes out for obviously national legislative programs that have been linked with liberaldom, having nothing to do with education of our children, I think many people are wondering what in the world is the PTA doing, and that includes members of the John Birch Society.
Well, I wonder about you. I wonder about you. I looked you up. You're the biggest joiner that I've ever seen in the world. You belong, as I counted them, to 67 organizations, among which are the National Rifle Association, the American Pistol and Revolver Association, the Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, the Second Amendment Foundation, and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms.
Well, Tom, I think there's a real drive in this country to try to destroy the realization of our citizens that they have a fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms as the Constitution allows. And unfortunately, there are those in our society, including elements of the PTA nationally, not always locally by any stretch, but nationally, who would believe that the federal government should restrict the right of citizens to keep and bear arms.
Can I get back to that?
What kind of grades do you give Ronald Reagan as president? And what kind of grades is the John Birch Society giving?
Well, I would say in his speeches, Pat, you'd have to give him close to an A, B plus to an A, but in his performance,
what's
somewhere,
most disappointing?
Well, I think the fact that the rhetoric is going one way and the record is going another.
Let me ask you about the conspiracy again.
Well, you can take the issue of one of the major problems of this country is inflation,
right,
and the problems of the destruction of the dollar. And the fact of the matter is, in spite of promises of the contrary, Reagan has not moved to correct the deficiencies. We're now back to Keynesian economics despite comments to the contrary.
Do you think that's a result of the conspiracy you mentioned? Is there somebody working on them to get the inflation so that this country will be weakened?
Well, as a man who campaigned against elitism, as a man who in his campaign rhetoric said that he would not be having the Council on Foreign Relations, trilateral types dominating his cabinet, he's got about 250 members of such in his administration.
Well, let me ask you about Bill Casey. Now, I've known Bill.
250 members.
Of the
trilateral committee.
I've known Bill Casey
in the administration.
I've known Bill Casey, the director of CIA, since World War II. As a matter of fact, in World War II, he was my boss. Now, you're a public relations director of the John Birch Society, says that Bill Casey is a part of this conspiracy
that's trying to bring about world government. Before he became CIA, one of his big jobs was aiding in the transfer of technology and goods and so forth to the Soviet Union, helping the Camera River Project, the Export-Import Bank. Helping to finance
these things. Is the Export-Import Bank part of the conspiracy?
I think the fact that the American people have been tapped steadily, especially since World War II, to finance their enemies and to have the massive technology transfer to those who
are doing
it. You know that from the Braden Doctrine in the agency, which you're very familiar with. and the feeling that we must somehow subsidize the, quote, non-communist left. That's among our so-called allies.
Braden was
and in country after country,
left?
That turned out to be the communists,
mm-hmm.
the crypto-communists masquerading
yeah,
as
that's
the non-communists.
Yeah, that's Mr. Mitterrand, who has taken the strongest position against the Russians of any Western European
Well,
leader.
He was about to lose everything at the polls, and he had to show some sign. It's very difficult to say exactly how far that will
Congressman
be.
Congressman McDonnell, he's been using the term conspiracy.
No, I didn't use it. For heaven's sakes, Pat. The John Birch Society used it.
I don't want to go through the tapes.
Well, it is. Don't blame it on me. He used it.
You've used it 45 times.
That's right. They say this is a conspiracy. Right. I want to know what the conspiracy is.
Now.
I'm trying to find out who's in it and what agencies of government in it, because I want to fight it along with you.
You look
and
like...
Great, Tom.
Let me tell you, Tom.
You tell me, you know, how can I join the John Birch Society?
Well, gosh, Tom, you got no problem at all. All you need to do is write a letter to the John Birch Society, Belmont, Massachusetts, 02178, and tell them that you would like to purchase for $2 a copy of the Blue Book. Tom, you read it, and I think if you're a dedicated American, you will agree with every word. Then you get in touch with me, and we may even sign you up.
Yeah, but it says here in one of your publications, not just anyone can be a Bircher. Now, how can I be a Bircher?
Anyone. Now, if you don't believe in the Constitution and limited government and free enterprise and biblical values of morality...
I believe in all those, but
I don't believe
there's a conspiracy.
He'd make a lousy candidate.
Well, as a matter of fact...
Pat a member of the conspiracy? He's a member of the press.
Let me ask you. Mr. Braden's used for the 47th time the term conspiracy. Now, let me ask you seriously. When you use people like Casey, who is on the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, what do you mean... Or do you mean, is that your term, the term conspiracy?
Well, there are many different levels of the problem. But yes, the term has been used, the term of conspiracy. When you have a group of people...
They're actively collaborating, and at the other end of that point of collaboration are communists, and on this end of the point of collaboration is Bill Casey and trilateralists and CFR.
Al Hague.
You have people who are part of the elitist structure of this country that have dominated this country openly for 40 years.
I know, but they're not... Is that a conspiracy?
Now, wait a minute. If people quietly working together for evil objectives, two or more, that by definition is a conspiracy. You have, by their own admission, you look at The Tragedy and Hope by Professor Carol Quigley, who's a member of this elitist group. He says, sure, we've been working this. Sure, we've been collaborating with communism. Yes, we're working for a global accommodation. Yes, we're working for world government. The only thing I object to is that we have kept it a secret. And I think we have gone so far along, we should come out and say.
I'll bet you $1.50 that Bill Casey doesn't know who Professor Quigley is. I don't.
He's at Georgetown a number of years ago.
He died a couple of years ago, and he wrote The Tragedy and Hope. He's a very noted member of your club, Tom.
Tom, you've got to broaden your reading a little bit.
That's right. What I ought to do is read more about conspiracies, and that's why I'm interested in what
Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do is go back and look at your founder, Edward Mandel House, because he wrote the book Philip Drew Administrator. And in this... Colonel House said that what he envisioned for the world was a world government along socialist lines as envisioned by Karl Marx. Now, that's your leader, Tom, so you got to go back to the beginning.
Well, his leader was Woodrow Wilson. Do you think he was a communist?
No, I think Woodrow Wilson was his follower. I think Edward Mandel House dominated Wilson, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And so Edward Mandel House, that was we ought to make that clear. He was
Colonel
President
House.
Wilson's principal advisor.
Alpha ego, that's correct.
Yeah. So he is the real villain from which all these conspiracies...
No. He is a major figure, Tom, but there has been, unfortunately, in the West, an element. There are good members in the Council on Foreign Relations, dedicated patriotic people. You've had Sproul Brayton, who was a member of the Council of the Birch Society.
Bill Buckley's
And Council on Foreign Relations. You've got some dedicated people, but the driving forces have very clearly been willing to collaborate, subsidize, work for technology transfer for what they feel is some type of an accommodation and merger. And I submit this would be a disaster for the American Republic.
Are there any Congress?
Sure.
Our guest has been Congressman Larry McDonald of the John Birch Society. He's the new chairman. He's succeeded Robert Welsh, who has stepped down, as I understand it. That's correct?
He's been sort of promoted to Chairman
Emeritus. And founder. And Tom Braden and I will be back with final comments in a moment.
Well, what say ye? There it is. Now you know why they killed him or kidnapped him or whatever for the rest of his life. Dangerous time to be talking about the New World Order in 1983 when they haven't even gotten around to it yet, just getting things set up. Now they want you to know. They want you to know about it, who the tyranny is coming from. So when they get rid of it, they'll come up with another set of agendas. It's called the dialectic. We got rid of the bankers. The Jews are gone. The bankers have been defeated. The Illuminati, the reptilians, I don't whatever. The Masons, so forth and so on. We have one here with Christ consciousness. We're all one in Christ and come together for peace. It's going to be a lie. The Bible is true. Now, going back on what was said here, the round table is a discussion group, you might say, that gives its recommendations to the Committee of the 300, which is the Illuminati, made up of Italian, German, and every other Irish, Scottish, you name it. Chinese, Lee family, L.I., Greek, Onassis. I could actually name you the Rothschild, Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedy family, the Lie family. Bruce Lee was a part of them, by the way. He changed his name to LEE. Yeah. Onassa. Now you know why Jackie married Onassa. Keep it in the family. Rockefeller, Disney. What a piece of work he was. He's a pedophile, evil to the core. Russell, Van Duyn, Merovingian bloodline, that's Queen Elizabeth and all of our presidents, and going back to Charles Maine, King John, that's Merovingian bloodline. Tribe of Dan, the 13th tribe, that's Merovingian. Carolingian bloodlines together. The Fleur de Lis is one of their emblems that the Boy Scouts have, and the New Orleans Saints on their helmet. Yeah, buddy. And the Reynolds family. You ever heard of Reynolds Aluminum? How about Reynolds Tobacco, a killer? Now you know. But that's not the only ones. I never stop in one place. That's just the outer portico to keep you all busy, to keep people out there busy. The Familia, P-A-M-P-H-I-L-I, Italian, Esti family, the Farnese, Aldo Brandini, Orsini family. He's the great pope. He controls the Vatican. I say it's pretty important. The great pope controls Adolfo Nicholas, the Jesuits, and Francis, the white pope. The great pope is the one who controls it, and he's the linking part to the Committee of the 300. Breakspeare, Medici, the Borgia. They created the Jesuits, Sangallia, Conti, Chagi, Colonna, and Gaetani. That's just part of the Illuminati in the Italian side. I got 13 more families I could name you off. Now, the round table has representatives that come together from the following organizations. The Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Bilderberg Group, the Club of Rome for depopulation, the murder of millions, and the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the sister of the Council of Foreign Relations in Europe, Illuminati. All of them are Illuminati. And don't forget the Gorbachev Foundation. And they come together with the representatives talking about environmental eugenics, the Europe and USA global connections, America, Europe, Japan, all kinds of getting together there, and they submit their recommendations to the Committee of the 300. So each one of those I just named have their own meetings. And they're members of Club of Rome, excuse me, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Bilderberg, have Freemasons. All of it's connected. Every doggone bit of it's connected. And Larry McDonald was exposing it. Do you remember hearing in the interview where he talked about Casey doing sales to the Soviet Union? In August of 66, State Department issued a pamphlet entitled private boycotts versus the national interest. And it says, and it's in response to the attitude of the companies back then that was going to boycott the Soviet Union because they were trading with the VC, providing them weapons, equipment, and so forth. So following in the steps of JFK of being a patriot, they were going to boycott Soviet Union and all the countries connected to them for patriotic reasons. Of course, LBJ was another piece of work, evil to the absolute total core to his toenails. Well, they were going to boycott. American businesses were going to boycott the Soviet Union, Eastern European countries, because they were selling goods to the VC. So the State Department had to stop it because they had to trade. They wanted to trade with the Soviet Union to make sure Vietnam was a losing war. It was set up to lose in late 50s, just like Korea was. That's fact. So this is a pamphlet. It's called The Private Boycotts Versus National Interest, 1966. It says, I quote, "All American citizens should know that any American businessman who chooses to engage in peaceful trade with the Soviet Union or Eastern European countries and to sell the goods he buys is acting within his rights and is following the policy of his government. But any organization, however patriotic in intention, that undertakes to boycott, blacklist, or otherwise penalize or attack any American business for engaging in peaceful trade with European, Eastern European countries of the Soviet Union is acting against the interests of the United States," unquote. So Dr. Anthony Sutton concluded that the guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans, 58,000 of them in Vietnam, came from American subsidized economy of the Soviet Union. And the same thing in Korea before the Soviet Union served as a conduit for some American businessmen to profit. Goes back to World War I. Rockefellers made $200 million in World War I. Now, one of the most tragic sales to the Russian government occurred in 1966 as a result of this pamphlet, Casey and the rest of them. When the U.S. government sent the Soviet Union the entire technical specifications which they needed to have to build a glycerol plant. G-L-Y-C-E-R-O-L, glycerol. Specifically in Vietnam, the glycerol was used as a detonator in booby traps. Found that accounted for 50% of the 58,000 that were killed in Vietnam was attributed to this sale. Now that pisses, that ticks me off bad. It started this in 1950, 1960, and ironically enough, I called into a radio show this morning, and it was a very well received. It was well received. It was a good program. But I called in and let them know that this has been going on since 1960, and the suicides, 22 per day of our troops today is being orchestrated by psychotropic drugs, voice-to-skull technology. It's been ongoing since the Gulf War syndrome was created in a laboratory by a virus. Since our chemical detection equipment was substandard, so it could not detect in 1991, 92, 93 time frame of the incoming Q chemical weapons used against our troops in the Gulf War. It's also part of Agent Orange that was purposely put out to start the cancer, the slow-moving kill for our troops. That was the purpose of Agent Orange. It's not a government. It's the Vatican, the Illuminati, that's telling the government what it will and won't do. It's deeper than just the government. This is Luciferian, secret societies that themselves will be killed by the very people they're working for when they're done with them. You better know where the enemy really lies. And it's among you in the secret societies. They will kill you. But they use you as they go along until they're done with you. See, those of you who accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're free. You're not under bondage. You're free. When you start telling the truth, when you start doing the right thing. I did the wrong things for many years of my life. I can tell you exactly what it feels like to start telling the truth. My marriages and all this, so I know, I've been around. I've done things that I wasn't happy about. When I became born again in 1983, things started changing. That's the first indication, is you don't see things the way you used to. Things start changing in your life. You see. The whole idea since 1950s, actually began in 1945, was to take down the United States as the last bastion. They knew it's going to take one, two, or three generations to take us down. They used us from the 1840s to 1945. Exactly. And that was when it's time now to figure out how to turn us into a socialist nation. I've given the quote for that already. Norman Mattoon Thomas. That's when it all began. CIA came in for that. We're Nazis anyway. You know, there's CIA agents, and the majority of them don't have a clue about this. If they do get wise to it, they're going to kill them. Set them up at an embassy to die. Take down a helicopter. Or assassinate them like they did Pat Tillman. Family. I'm on nobody's side except Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm done. You understand? That's non-negotiable. I don't follow nobody. No country, no flag, nobody but Jesus. Because he's the winner. And he's coming back. But in the meantime, there's going to be tribulations. There's going to be judgment. And nobody's getting away with nothing. There's no escape. Death, you will not escape it. Death will not allow you to escape the judgment, no matter what happens. You can cremate your body. You can do flip-flops, do whatever you want to do. Hide in a cave if you want to. It's not going to change the judgment. The only thing that's going to change judgment of every human being that's ever lived on the face of this planet, it's going to be when they're alive to take Jesus Christ as Savior. That began, you want to call it dispensation, you call it condensation, whatever you want to call it, into some kind of theological term, it'll make one lick of difference what you call it. Either way, Jesus Christ died on the cross, he rose again, he's coming back. At that point in time, the Holy Spirit touched everybody, and before that, it was sacrifice of animals. He chose those whom he wanted to. That was the Hebrew Jews. Their job was to deliver the word of God to man, woman, and child. They failed at that. That's why half of that Torah, not God-inspired whatsoever. Masoretic text, yes. Came from God to Moses. That's pretty inspired, don't you think? And that's it. What about in the Middle Ages? Well, it's called the Dark Ages, and that's why. God's word was removed. That's God's business, not mine. There's some things about what God did that we'll never know till we get up there. I'm not going to worry about all that other stuff. God let us know through the King James Bible what we need to know. Famine's coming down. It's coming around. You can see it taking place now. But the distractions, the lies, man, whoo. You know, the foundation nations of the New World Order is America, England, Israel, Australia, and China. That's your foundation nations. Satan's been a busy boy, to say the very least. You got the Crown Council of the 13. Below that, the Committee of the 300. That's the world's richest, most powerful families come together in a committee of 300 representatives. Then you got all these think tanks that I mentioned already. It consists of the round table. Then underneath that, you got the world financial control, the central banks, the tax revenue, interest revenue. Before that, or after, below that, you got the corporations. All of them control, all corporations are controlled by six. Then you got, on the basis of that, you've got the religions to control people. You got the intelligence community that work together. Military, police, courts, prisons, all work together at the highest level. Then you got the schools, energy, entertainment. I mean everything. Now you see the absurdity of trying to identify one specific group when they don't understand the big picture. You got to see the big picture to know who to go after. Man, they got so many of these secret society member groups, I've never seen nothing like it. You see? And each of them, I don't know what they're thinking. And these are smart people, man. They're supposed to be smart anyway. But you got Freemasons, Skull and Bones, Grand Orient Lodge, Grand Alfina Lodge, Knights Templar, Royal Order of the Garter, Priority Scion, Rosicrucians, that's Ron Paul, Thule Society, Helen Blavatsky, and you had Adolf Hitler. They're all part of it. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, P2 Lodge. They all work together. Religious, you got the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches. National Council of Churches used to be called the Federal Council of Churches. Federal Council of Churches in 1936 was identified by Naval Intelligence in 1936 as being one of the most subversive organizations in the United States. Oops. So they what they did was, Rockefellers changed it from Federal Council of Churches to the National Council of Churches. Just changed the name. Federal Council of Churches funded Billy Graham. Randolph Hearst Rockefeller's funded Billy Graham. He's a Jesuit Freemason. Family, look to Jesus. No human being. None. Not a one. Especially now. Because you're on this earth, you're in enemy territory. It's been hidden all this time. But the history has been showing it to you, but people aren't looking. World Parliament of Religions, New Age Movement, Unity Church, Universalist, Unitarian, Baha'i, and Baha'i. I call it bad breath, Baha'i birth, whatever. Temple of Understanding, the Vatican, Opus Dei, the Roman Catholic Church, Al-Qaeda, Theosophical Society, there's Hitler, Nation of Islam, created by the Vatican, Hamas and Hezbollah. They're all working together. Y'all getting the point here? they lose. It's that simple. But in the meantime, gear up. Gear up spiritually. Now, I got other interviews that Martin Luther King, Major General Smedley D. Butler, Anthony Sutton, and they all confirm about this conspiracy. And you saw on this, you heard on the crosstalk, crossfire, how they tried to unseat Larry McDonald. He handled them both very well. He knew what was coming down. He knew both of them, Pat Buchanan and Tom Bearden, were enemies. He held himself very well with that, and they tried to upset him, but it didn't work. And so, in these, you know, I could say certain things, like I could say 1, 2, and 3 comments. Someone going to say, oh, you're a liberal. Or I could say 5, 6, 7, 8 comments or whatever in my belief. Oh, you're one of those conservative types. It got us all categorized by what we say. They've got us divided. See, I don't play by the rules, except the Bible now. I don't play by the rules at all. I quit that a long time ago. I've been rebellious most of all my life because I want to be. But I'm not rebellious against God anymore. Doesn't make sense. Not even logical. Because whoever, the one that rules my life, knows what I'm going to do before I even know I have a decision to make. How do you, you don't outthink a God like that. This is impossible. But people are forgetting about Luke 12:51. He's a loving God, caring God. He knows the end from the beginning. Our future is his memory. But there's another part of God too. In Luke 12:51. Quote, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Satan's trying to bring everybody together under a Mount Nelevant government, world government, Mount Nelevant, made to look like benevolent. But he's the one trying to bring everybody together under this control of world government. God is dividing people into two groups, the wheat and the tares. The wheat takes Jesus Christ as Savior. The tares rejects him. Any questions? Whoop, there you go. In Matthew 10:33-42. Matthew 10:33-42. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Break. Does he not come with a sword at the seventh bowl in the seventh trumpet at the real Armageddon? He sure does. He comes with a sword on a white horse. He brings a sword to divide. Continuing. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against their mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you know God, break, you know that God fulfilled even his own words? He loved us so much, he gave his own son, that we would have eternal life through his death and resurrection. Because we can't die and come back on our own. It's not going to happen. But only through God. The only way he's going to know it is when you accept His Son as your Savior. It's that simple. And a lot of preachers ain't preaching this. And a lot of preachers are in a whole bunch of trouble, too, with the one that created them. Continuing. And he that taketh not his cross, sins, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that lose his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receiveth him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of the little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Love the Lord with all thy heart and soul, and love each other, love one another, as Christ loved the church. Those two commandments given by Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments given to Moses by God summarizes the 667 instructions he has given on Mount Sinai. Then summarized the Ten Commandments. Then Jesus Christ summarized them to two. Jesus didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law. You know, you see more and more in articles coming out today. For example, article I found here, Satan worshiper killed and skinned his mother on an unholy day that demands for ritual human sacrifice. This is just representative of Lord knows how many sacrifices. They found 1,000 graves in one Michigan insane asylum or something. 1,000 graves. How many were for human sacrifice? Who knows? And they're still going after the Bible. And all this is crazy. Camel bones suggest error in the Bible, archaeologists say. People actually believe this nonsense. Camel bones has an error. See that way how they're grasping for straws? And they're using carbon-14 dating, which is completely inaccurate. Been proven to be virtually useless. It was 1,000 bodies found on University of Mississippi land thought to be from old lunatic asylum in Mississippi. 1,000 bodies. And then Central Michigan University is offering a zombie-themed religion course. Oh, that ought to give a hoot for you. I'm taking Zombie 101. Oh, okay. Well, I can't wait to Zombie 103. Okay. Then it starts talking about the parasitical elite defines a shifting enemy of the common man. See, they are exposing the elite to you now. They want you to know about the Illuminati. They want you to know about this elite because the New Age movement is going to be the dialectic once disclosure happens. That's why they're telling you all this stuff. They want you to know this. They're telling you about the TV propaganda and the mind control culture, the Bilderberg plan to obliterate humanity. There it is. They want you to know about the Bilderberg group. You see what they're doing? It's called the dialectic. Here you got not just a pipe dream. Texas gets ready to leave the United States. Yeah. Once it starts, it's called Balkanizing. Balkan, the Balkans, to Balkanize America. See, your Freemasons, Knights of Malta, your Illuminati within each state is working on the senators and congressmen and all that, your patriotic groups, fooling them. First, they got to show how bad Obama is, which is not hard to do, just like Bush and Clinton and the rest of them. Show how bad the government is, the tyrannical government. We got to get away from it. It happened in England. It's going to happen again. They did it in Yugoslavia. They're going to do it here. Nothing new under the sun. So the states get together, this Tea Party thing. Tea Party was formed by the Council of National Policy, a right-wing conservative secretive group, which include Chuck Missler, Palin, LaHayes, North. Look it up, Council of National Policy, and see the list. James Dobson's, military leaders, and the CNP, the Council of National Policy, is subservient or connected to the Council of Foreign Relations. And they created, just like they did the John Birch Society, the Jesuits did, they created the Tea Party to draw in, quote-unquote, patriots to find out who you are. NRA, the same purpose, Jesuit organization, to pull in those. Charles Hessen is a Mason. Charles Hessen was another traitor. They know what they're doing. It's called flypaper operations. You form the benevolent organization to draw people in so you'll know who they are. And you slow people down. So what it does, it placates the population into thinking something's really being done when it's not. That's how they do this. Well, that's sneaky. Y'all knew that when they put children in jail and juvenile hall and all that, that the judges get money for that. Kids for cash inside one of the nation's most shocking juvenile justice scandals. Freemason judges, warlocks too. I know two judges are warlocks down in Winder, Georgia. The two Masons, Freemasons, Westcott and Hort, that corrupted the Bible 1875 to 1891, were two Freemasons, were also warlocks, literally. Do I load too much my broadcast? I don't, you know. A lot of this, I try to get as much into a broadcast as I can to show you how all this is connected. And, you know, I've learned something new every single day. It's something new. Every time I think I figured this out, I got an idea what's going on. No, I don't. Man, every time I think I do, there's always something new come up. And, what we got coming up? 11th, for you lovers out there, whatever, you got Valentine's Day. Well, does it matter to God that we celebrate the holidays? It does, actually, because we don't have any holidays. That's of God, none of them. Christmas, Easter, I'll talk about Easter later, probably March or so. Christmas, Groundhog Day, all of them are cult. I'm sorry, they are. It's not my fault. Y'all get mad at me for mentioning it if you want to, but I got to tell you about it. Valentine hearts and roses are red and violets are blue. Retailers and business owners see the green of money, especially in Christmas. That's when it comes to celebrating the holiday. Right now they've got the Easter bunnies out and the chocolate bunnies, which I like the chocolate bunnies, don't you? Dark chocolate especially. Anyway, in the United States, Valentine's Week is ranked number one in regard to chocolate candy sales. Sales of chocolate account for about $345 million out of more than $448 million in candy consumers is going to purchase to celebrate the holiday. E-commerce retailers expect to rack up about $650 million selling food, candy, flowers, Valentine's Day stuff. 15 million electronic Valentine's, e-Valentines were sent in 2010. 15 million. About 1 billion Valentine's Day cards are exchanged each year. Teachers receive the most cards, and followed by children, mothers, wives, sweethearts. Children 6 to 10 years old exchange more than 150 million Valentine's cards with teachers, classmates, family members. I remember the day when I was 6 and 10 years old, whatever. You'd always, your mother would buy you, you know, a box of these little Valentine things, whatever, and you'd write them on just like you would a high school annual. Just write stuff. And then you'd have exchange. I forgot how it worked. Anyway, you'd have exchange of the Valentines, and you'd count them, and you'd read them, and look over there at Mary Sue and wink. Mary Sue, you gotta pull your pigtail. Yeah, you know, then you look at, oh, yeah, Mary. Not Mary Sue, but Mary. Hello, Mary. This was special for you. Shucks, look down, kick the dirt on your feet and blush. There you go, Mary. You know. I still got some of them when I was 6 years old in a lockbox I kept. Canadians in 2007 averaged $92.30 on Valentine gifts. Ooh. This goes and goes. The 35 to 44-year-old age group spent the most money on the holiday, then followed by young adults, number two, 18 to 24. And the 55 to 64 years old spends the least amount of money on Valentine's. That's interesting. And you know, last, men spend nearly twice the amount of money celebrating holidays than women do. Shame on you women falling behind like that. But not everybody loves Valentine. I can attest to the religious police of Mottawa in Saudi Arabia banned the sale of all items. Mottawa, the religious police in Saudi, I had to deal with them for four years, actually. Pakistan, Jamaat Islami, political party, called for the banning of holiday. In Iran, the celebration of holiday is harshly criticized by conservatives that they've opposed to Islamic culture. Pretty obvious. In 313 AD, that's when Constantine came into effect, because he won the battle at the bridge. He legalized Christianity, ended Rome's persecution of the Christians. As I mentioned this before, it encouraged non-Christians to convert to the once persecuted religion, but pulled them into a false religion, a perverted form of Christianity. The pagans adopted Christianity as a religion, did not actually abandon the traditions and practices they held before the conversion. They kept them. One of those was brought into the church was fertility celebration known as Lupercalia. Is that what I call it? Lupercalia? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. But the vestiges of superstition was not obliterated at this festival, Lupercalia. The origin actually preceded the foundation of Rome, came before Rome. It goes in the ancient mystery schools of religion. Still celebrated on the reign of Arthemius. So, Anthemius ruled the empire from 467 to 472 AD. And Gibbons said, quote, after the conversion of the imperial city, Rome, the Christians still continued in the month of February the annual celebration of Lupercalia, to which they ascribed a secret and mysterious influence on the genital powers of the animal and vegetable world. So, 24 years after the death of Emperor Anthemius, a Christianized form of the festival of Lupercalia was officially adopted by the church to honor a saint named Saint Valentine. Now, I was reading a religious type publication we get here in Mount Airy. It's like a little newspaper, like Globe or something. It's supposed to be Christianized or something or another. I get some good stories out of it and here and there, but you also get some stuff that's not quite kosher. But this they talk about, I find it very interesting, is the one February the 7th, Good News it's called, has an article about St. Valentine, the real story. They forget to tell you about the witchcraft, the fertility, before St. Valentine's. They just tell you about St. Valentine's. As far back as 496 A.D., Pope Galatius charged Lipchilia, changed it Lipchilia, on February the 15th of St. Valentine's Day. Early Christians were happier with the idea of a holiday honoring the saint of a romantic causes than when one recognizes a pagan festival in 496 A.D. Pope Galatius named February the 14th in honor of St. Valentine as a patriot saint of lovers. But what's the festival of Lupercalia? Roman legend states that Romulus, no, it's not Star Trek, and Remus found the city of Rome about 753 B.C. So this pagan festival was in honor of the Roman god Lupercus, who's considered to be the god of shepherds. Lupercus was Rome's equivalent to the Greek god Pan, Satan, what it boils down to. The link between Lupercalia, fertility, romance, is evident in the festivities that occurred during the celebrations. You know, to begin the festival, members of Luperci, an order of the Roman priests, would gather at the sacred cave where infants Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome, they were believed to have been cared for by she-wolf of Lupa. The priest would sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purification. Then the boys would slice the goat's hide in strips and dip them in the sacrificial blood, took him to the streets gently, then slapping both women and fields of crops with the goat hide strips. Far from being fearful, Roman women welcomed being touched with the hides because it was believed the strips would make them more fertile in the coming year. Ooh. Y'all got the idea? And later in the day, according to legend, all the young women in the city would place their names in a big urn of some sort. So the city's bachelors would then choose a name out of the urn and become paired for the year with his chosen woman. The matches, they said, often ended in marriage. I guess that took the place of internet love. And even the Greek historian Plutarch, between 46 and 120 A.D., described Lupercalia, as the following. Lupercalia, of which many write, was anciently celebrated by shepherds and is also some connection with the Arcadian Lycia. At the same time, the noble youths and the magistrates run up and down the city naked for sport and laughter, striking those they meet with shaggy thongs. And many women of rank also purposely get in the way and, like children in school, present their hands to be struck, believing that the pregnant will be then helped in delivery and the barren to pregnancy. Oh, man. Amazing how we get all this stuff. The second century Christian apologist, Justin Martyr, further links the worship of pagan gods to the Lupercalia, and he writes an image, the Lycian god, whom the Greeks call Pan and the Romans Lupercus, who is nude, save for a girdle of goat skin, which stood in the Lupercal, the cave where Romulus and Remus was suckled by a she-wolf. So you got red roses and doves and Cupid and Valentine's heart and chocolate. That's the background, almost everything of them. Deuteronomy 12, 29, 30, 29, 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination of the Lord, which is he hates, is gives done to his God, to their gods. It's to other gods. So if you don't do it, you get divorced. Or you lose, you break up. If you do it, you're going against God. Oh man, Satan is a busy boy, isn't he? A busy, busy boy. So the true origin of Valentine's Day symbols, in short, are rooted in the worship of false gods and has no biblical basis at all. There's your holiday. And I like to know what the heck is going on. I do the research just to find out. And boy, I tell you, some of the things you find out, sometimes you wish you didn't. And then people that's locked into the world system, and you try to tell them, ooh, they get mad at you, let me tell you. And they unfriend you and do all kinds of things. But you know, bottom line, it's going to come down to Jesus, and that's the purpose of the tribulations. The purpose of the prophecies is to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. And people are starting to ignore that. However, you got those like Bagley and a bunch of others that are taking every... They discovered some statue in the Middle East of Apollo. And you got a couple of preachers just going back crazy over it. For what? They're trying to attribute to end times events. They're trying their best to pull a rabbit out of the hat to show this, we're in the sixth seal, we're in the sixth trumpet, here you go. I don't know. You wish you had a bigger audience, you wish you sometimes that you could tell people they're being misled. This thing on Yahweh. As I appeared unto Abraham, for example, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, and the God of Almighty, but by the name, my name Jehovah, and I was not known to them, Exodus 6:3. That men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, art the most high over the earth, Psalms 83:18. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and also to become my salvation. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Trust thee in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26, 4. I don't recall reading Yahweh. When I read the name of Jesus, I've never seen the name Yeshua in the Bible. Those verses are where the God is pronounced in the King James Bible as well as the Authorized Bible, the few other English versions, though, by the way. It's a popular movement to replace the name of God, Jehovah, with the name Yahweh. It's being pushed very hard among those in the Christian Identity, Patriot movements, Hebrew Roots movement, Sacred Name movement, and also among the alternative news community that's prominent on the shortwave. Most Christians perceive as being a source of more pure form of broadcasted Christianity. If I say Yahweh, I'm in with a group. But you're speaking of Satan. You're not talking about God of the Bible. That's the problem. In the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This movement to alter God's name to Yahweh is nothing that resembles scriptural whatsoever, textual or linguistic support, none of it. It's misled huge numbers of Christians and denying the Bible, accepting the work of Bible-scoffing atheists, and sets up bringing in the Sananda Manuel and the Maitreya. That's what it's all about. And also cast doubt on the Bible, because they're going to start attacking the Bible, which they already have, with camel bones. Camel bones proves the Bible's wrong? You got to be kidding me. That's stretching it. Even those who claim to be King James Bible supporters are using this perversion of the name of God, Yahweh. They deny that King James says about the God, name of God. If they do deny it, then they do not believe that King James is God's word. In fact, they do not believe in the Hebrew Old Testament, God's word either, because it clearly says Yehovah, Y-E-H-O-V-A-H, which becomes Jehovah in English pronunciation. Same thing for Jesus and Jesus. Pronounced Evova in Spanish. If one can change the word simply on a whim, which is all the Yahweh spelling is, then they could deny the spelling of absolute any word in the entire Hebrew Bible. This is the sneaky part, they're doing it. That's why they come up with Yahweh. If you ever think about what's going on, they're picking up the steam. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're picking up the steam. It's moving fast. And the, well, what else is moving fast? Our time here is coming to a close. Let y'all know that we're played up in Highport Radio, highportradio.net. by John Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Herkler, and highportradio.net. And his email is highportradio@yahoo.com. And we're also simulcast, that means at the same time, at Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio, on the internet. We're also simulcast at the same time that we're talking now. He's also simulcasting us and keeping that archives as well. My website, watchmanforjesus.com. I have my archives put up there, and I got to send some more out now. And I got some studies there, a timeline, a 200-page timeline of the Illuminati I placed up there. And I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, and, of course, my own Facebook. That's pretty active. We're up to now. We start off. We had like 13,000 visits in a short period of time. It's growing. Family, the only future that's known for sure is what the King James Bible says. All this new stuff they're coming out with, every bit of it's going to be wrong. However, there are certain parts that's not in the Bible. When God steps away, Satan gets his way, will come true. But it'll all be in accordance with the Bible. But here's the rub for Satan. Is that the more latitude he's given by us pulling away from him, from God, gives Satan more latitude to operate. Satan knows his time's getting shorter too. Now, the problem is, those under him, especially the humans that follow him, they don't know this. They think they're gaining ground. So God sets them up with a reprobate mind and will cause them delusion, that they will believe a lie because they turned away from God. You don't want to go that route, because they don't realize what Satan knows is their end is sure. Because God will send them a spirit of delusion. Satan knows his time is short. His idea is to take as many souls from God as possible. In any way possible. That's what's going on today. Not Fukushima, not Agenda 21, not FEMA camps, World War III or whatever. All these things may happen, but the bigger picture is what I look at. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the bottom line. He'll give you wisdom, discernment, repentance, to repent and accept Him as your Savior. Be baptized, outward show of obedience. Where two or more are gathered is the church. It's not four walls. It's not a religion. It's in your heart. That's a religion. It may fall, it's not about following a priest, a pope, a rabbi, or a preacher. It's not about following them. They got their own problems. It's about you following Jesus Christ and standing up for Him. And the true word of God, the King James Bible. That's what it's all about. And have it written on your heart to study it when and if it's ever taken away from you. If you're put in FEMA camps, well, there you go. And start witnessing to those around you. If I go out in a blaze of glory, if I go out and die, well, I know where I'm heading. I take Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not worried about what they got. I don't care what they do. May witness to them. It's coming down to it. Family, y'all have a good night. Know that Jesus went on the cross of Calvary. The end is already written down. You'll find it at King James Bible, nowhere else. Seek Him and live. Well, y'all have a great night. And tonight is Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. And a broadcast, 4 to 6. Website, watchmanforjesus.com. So y'all have a great night. Spread the word. And we'll see y'all tomorrow or tonight, whichever the case may be. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
And every fear I've ever had just melts into peace.
He's alive. Oh, gosh. Good night. God bless. Signing off.